In a time like none of us have experienced before, there's strength to be found in community institutions like Iowa Public Radio. I'm Executive Director Myrna Johnson, and I'm so proud of the thoughtful, informed coverage IPR brings you on the issues that matter. Listener funding is the power source that makes it all possible. Facts, understanding, insight, that's what you fund when you give to this station. Make your gift now at iowapublicradio.org, and thank you.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. William Burt of Waterloo has a dream. He wants to take his mobile barbershop, Cut Kings, on the road to give haircuts to people who need them, who can't get to a barbershop or can't afford a haircut. But he ran into the law. The state didn't have a law that allowed for mobile barbershops, so he worked to change that law, and he won. Or at least he thought he did. Just a couple of days after the legislature passed a law to make it legal in March of 2020, the Iowa Board of Barbering told him that they couldn't give him a license because there are no rules or regulations for the mobile barber industry. It's been a year since that happened, and William Burt is still waiting. William Burt is on the line with me now. Hello.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you so much for being here. And let's talk about your history with barbering. You actually learned how to cut hair in prison. Tell me how that came about.
I think it was 2000. I was in Fort Dodge Correctional Facility. And, you know, in prison, each inmate has to have a job. It doesn't pay particularly like your job would out here.
Right.
I think I was making 45 cents per hour, as a barber in prison. But it came about, when I got to prison again, I didn't have any skills. I was prior to maybe just a few months prior to being arrested and being sent off to prison, just beginning to cut my younger siblings. Say I got three younger brothers. And I was beginning to cut their hair. So I kind of had a little hair familiarity and with holding the clippers and cutting hair. I had just a tad bit. And that gave me enough confidence to apply for a job that was open inside the Fort Dodge Correctional Facility at that time. And I had a couple friends that I knew from Waterloo that were already barbers. So they put a good word in, and I'm here today.
When you started cutting hair, you pretty quickly learned that it was something you really loved to do. And it was more than just having a skill that you could use. Tell me about that realization when you really fell in love with barbering.
For the people that knows me, I'm an outgoing person, but I'm truly an introvert. I have to force myself to be like interactive with other people. So barbering gave me that avenue. It kind of gave me the practice to be open, to be outward, to speak to my clients, to learn, you know, to learn and build relationships that I wouldn't otherwise be able to build. You know, I could build like true relationships from the returning clients and, you know, learning them. And like today, we just back and forth, you know, with current issues in our lives. Maybe it's, you know, the car broke down at home, or, you know, the dog passing away. And I like to be able to relate to my clients, be able to go back and forth and be like that consoler while they're in the chair. So barbering gave me that avenue. It taught me to be more outward, I would say.
And it gave you a way to really connect with people. People are really vulnerable,
yes,
when they're sitting in the barber chair, aren't they?
Yes, yes, exactly.
So you developed this skill that you could bring back into the world after you were in prison, and that was an inspiration to you. But your kids also gave you a lot of inspiration and motivation, in particular, your son. Tell me about that.
My son is like, that's my role model. He's a behind-the-scenes person today. Like, he does all the setting up the appointments, and unless I get a direct call, like you guys call me directly, but when it's usually it's my son, like working all the internet stuff, working the emails. And so he's been huge. And it was originally him just telling me like that. I've been listening to you talk forever. You know, it's time to, you know, show us that you really want to be home and you want to, you know, be there with us. So it was just a conversation in prison that really, it struck a chord for me. It was like, if he's old enough to tell me and have confidence in telling me that I got to do better, then I have to do better.
Well, and when you got out of prison, you've been working as a barber, making a living as a barber, but you wanted to do more and not just as a job, but to help people. Tell me about the idea you had for Cut Kings. Where did this come from?
Cut Kings was born originally to, like, stand in a gap, to fill the void. Like, I built Cut Kings to stand aside all the other barbers and barbershops. You know, I don't want to feel like I'm better or we're providing a service that is better or elite to other shops. That's not it. We're here to stand alongside the barbers and barbershops, but we want to fill in that gap. Like the traditional barbershop, we cater to people that get in their cars and drive to the shop, get out, walk in. That's not always a situation for other populations. Some are sick and shut in. There's, you know, single parents, homes that where the parent is alone and truly can't afford to pay for it. It may be an uncle who's a veteran that just don't like being around crowds. Maybe it's a PTSD or, you know, PTSD type of thing. There's many populations out there that traditional barbershops aren't reaching on a daily basis. So my ideal client will continue to be the man, woman, and child looking for a haircut, but we're going to fill that gap. Cut Kings will fill that gap for those people that aren't currently being reached.
It's such a wonderful idea. You put together a business model. You built this incredible mobile barbershop. For people who haven't seen any of the reports on you or a documentary about you, tell us what your mobile barbershop is like.
Truthfully, it's been a headache. No, seriously, it's been a dream come true for me. Of course, with it sitting around for nearly 4 years now, yeah, is always something. When I started up, is always a sound or is always something to tinker with just because I'm not in it daily. But it's actually been a dream come true. It was, again, I was at that point in my life in 2017, I was a brand new barber. I was 5 years in as a professional, and the guys that I was working beside, when I walked in the door, they already had 12 years and 15 years in. So at this point, they were looking at 20 and, you know, 17 years. And I'm got five in. So it's like, okay, these guys are tripling the income I'm bringing in because they have these amount of years to build that clientele. So what can I do to separate myself to, you know, to still be able to pay my bills? And I was a college student at UNI. I was doing a few dorm runs. And, you know, it's like, maybe I could do this thing full time. I'd actually pictured leaving the barbershop and just going out on the road in this, in my mobile vehicle. But again, I hit a brick wall with the law, and yeah, we're still trying to get over that hump today.
Right. Well, and you thought you had won last year, so you decided you were going to change this law, and you worked to bring people along with you. You got the law through the legislature last March, and I remember the celebrations. I mean, people were so excited, and a lot of people believe in your dream. But just a couple of days after that law was passed, you hear from the Iowa Board of Barbering that they can't give you a license. Explain this to me.
I think technically, being that the governor passed the law, I'm within legal rights to go to work. So legally, I can go to work and do the things that I need to do out, you know, with my clients. But being that there are no rules and regulations, the head of the barbering board, she expressed her concerns. And I think she was just telling me, like, technically we can't stop you, but we feel with the whole pandemic thing going on, it would be best that we get some rules and regulations established so you're not just out there running amok and maybe passing or getting and, you know, getting sick or whatever the case may be. So I took that to heart. It hurt me to have to say, no, you can't go to work. But I took it to heart, and I'm actually a member of the barber board. So I work closely with these guys. We're keeping an eye on everything. So I have faith that it's coming. It's just having to wait an extra year after the victory. Like you said, we celebrated the victory, and then days later, you're told you actually can't go to work. So it was again, I hit another brick wall, but you got to keep moving. Like the young lady said in the previous call, the Jazzercise lady, she said, no way that, you know, a business can continue to grow and thrive and be successful if you don't evolve. So I just had to keep evolving. I'm still working every day. I'm in a process, and I haven't broke this information yet, but I'm in a process of launching my own brick and mortar. So Cut Kings will have a home base for the mobile shop. So that's kind of my way of continuing to grow and continuing to work the curve and trying to stay in it, is bringing my own shop so I can provide jobs to other barbers or other potential barbers coming out of school.
That's exciting. What's your timeline? When do you think you'll be able to make that happen?
I'm currently in the midst. I'm in the middle, so I'm pushing for spring breakish time frame.
Oh wow, soon.
Soon, yes. Oh, very soon.
That's wonderful to hear. And I find this to be very frustrating on your behalf to be waiting so long, especially when restrictions have been lifted in Iowa in pretty much every way because of the pandemic. Do you feel like there is motion? What needs to happen for you to be able to get Cut Kings on the road?
I mean, essentially, we are on the road again. I'm a part of the barber board, and it's just a time process. It's in the hands of the legislature. So once they get it and read through it, I had 110% down there with those guys last year. So I have no doubt in my mind that once the right person get it in their hands, it'll go through. There's nothing else that really the public can do. There's nothing else that I can do. The barber board, we've done our job. So it's even out of our hands. We're just kind of like sitting back, still waiting. And of course, it's frustrated, but if this whole entire process hasn't taught me anything, it's taught me how to deal with changes. Like, there's always a change in this business or in this vision or in my goal. Is every day it's a change. So yeah. It's like, I guess I'm getting tough as nails, you could say.
Yeah, I think you don't need many more challenges. And of course, this past year has been an incredible challenge for everyone because of the pandemic. How has COVID-19 affected you?
It hit me hard. Like, the first couple months of it, the shops were shut down. So, I mean, no income, essentially. Then we were able to come back to work at the end of May, I believe, after sitting out for about 2 months. Clients gradually came back in. No one like flocked to the barbershop like I expected. Like, people really were, you know, is and are taking the COVID-19 deal pretty serious. So it's still been slow. You got your times, the holidays, it picks up during the week. It's kind of slow. It's hit and miss.
Do you feel safe when you're at work?
I do. I try not to allow it to affect me. I got so many other things on my mind. I definitely try not to let becoming infected or being sick, you know, bother me. I take the proper precautions. I got, you know, the Lysol and hand sanitizers and all the all-purpose cleaners that I need in here. So I stay pretty clean. I do my end, and I tell my clients, if you're sick, then have respect not to come down here with it. But other than that, I try to move as normal, as pre-COVID as I can.
Have you had people in your family or people who are close to you get sick?
Thank God, no. Wow. No one close to me at all in the entire 9 or 10 months. So no one. Thank you.
It feels like we're living in a world that needs Cut Kings more than ever. People have been so isolated, and it's been so difficult for people to make connections. And Cut Kings is about more than haircuts. It's about those connections. What is your vision for once the legislature allows the Board of Barbering to give you a license? What is your vision for the future?
My vision is to pick up where COVID shut me down at. Like, I had I had sponsors reaching out. I had so many, like, people wanting to be involved, companies wanting to be involved, the homeless shelters, not the name drop, but the House of Hope. It was so many different organizations reaching out to me. Then it all, like, came to a screeching halt because of the pandemic. So once this is finally passed, my job will be hitting the ground running, looking to rebuild those relationships and get some contracts set, get out here in the community.
Have you felt hopeless at times about this? It's been such a long journey.
Every day. It's a constant battle, a mental battle to keep going. Like I said, to keep me going this time, I've looked to at another avenue, which is the brick and mortar. Look, you know, to give Cut Kings a home. Right now I'm working in Gray's, and, you know, much love to the Gray family. They've paved the way and given me an opportunity to grow. It's time to evolve. It's time, like, Cut Kings can no longer – I don't feel like we can grow as a company under the guise or under the roof of someone else. So my next thing to keep me sane, to keep me with hope, to keep me going is to see what kind of support I'll get from the community with the brick and mortar, and the support poured in with the mobile shop. So I'm looking and kind of expecting the same kinds of love from the community.
I hope so. And Cut Kings, the physical brick and mortar shop, that's going to be in Waterloo?
Yes, ma'am. Just minutes away from where I'm cutting at now.
Oh, that's great. That's wonderful. And you're hoping for March. So I hope you do get a lot of support from the community and customers and people who wish you will. William Burt, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you guys for reaching out again. Iowa Public TV has been big in the process, so thank you.
Well, you're very welcome, and we wish you all the best. That's William Burt of Waterloo. He has a dream. He wants to take his mobile barbershop, Cut Kings, on the road to give haircuts to people who need them. He's run into a lot of roadblocks, but hopefully he will get on the road with that soon. And he's also building a brick-and-mortar Cut Kings shop that he's hoping to open in the next couple of months in Waterloo. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio. Our producers are Rick Brewer, Dennis Reese, Matt Alvarez, and Caitlin Harrop. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. You never need to miss an episode of Talk of Iowa. Please subscribe to our podcast. You can find it anywhere you get your podcasts. Just search for Talk of Iowa. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa.